Howdy and welcome to the 10-week Bible study. This is week 8, day 2 of our study of the book of Exodus. I'm your host, Darren Hibbs, and today we're talking about Exodus chapter 30. Welcome back to the 10-week Bible study. I am your host, Darren Hibbs, and today we're jumping into Exodus 31. We're going to be looking at more of the pieces of the tabernacle and its worship. But before that, let's go ahead and pray before we start today. Lord, would you open our eyes and our ears to hear what your word has to say to us today, God? Speak to us and fill us with the knowledge of you. Lord, let this passage today be something that points us to you, not just more knowledge about you, but to a relationship with you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, with that, let's go ahead and jump into God's word. I'll be reading today from the NIV. This is Exodus 30, verse 1. Make an altar of acacia wood for burning incense. It is to be square, a cubit long and a cubit wide, and 2 cubits high. Its horns of one piece with it. Overlay the top and all sides and the horns with pure gold and make a gold molding around it. Make 2 gold rings for the altar below the molding, 2 on each of the opposite sides to hold the poles used to carry it. Make the poles of acacia wood and overlay them with gold. Put the altar in front of the curtain that shields the Ark of the Covenant Law before the atonement cover that is over the tablets of the Covenant Law, where I will meet with you. Aaron must burn fragrant incense on the altar every morning when he tends the lamps. He must burn incense again when he lights the lamps at twilight, so incense will burn regularly before the Lord for the generations to come. Do not offer on this altar any other incense or any other burnt offering or grain offering, and do not pour a drink offering on it. Once a year, Aaron shall make atonement on its horns. This annual atonement must be made with the blood of the atoning sin offering for the generations to come. It is most holy to the Lord. So this altar that's made in gold and again has rings so you can put poles in it to carry it. This is the most holy altar, and it's where only incense is burned before the Lord inside of the tabernacle. It's inside, right in front of the curtain that separates where the Ark of the Covenant is going to go, the most holy place. So this is what's called the holy place, and where the Ark is considered the most holy place. Verse 11. Then the Lord said to Moses, when you take a census of the Israelites to count them, each one must pay the Lord a ransom for his life at the time he is counted. Then no plague will come on them when you number them. Each one who crosses over to those already counted is to give a half shekel according to the sanctuary shekel, which weighs 20 gerahs. This half shekel is an offering to the Lord. All who cross over, those 20 years old or more, are to give an offering to the Lord. The rich are not to give more than a half shekel, and the poor are not to give less when you make the offering to the Lord to atone for your lives. Receive the atonement money from the Israelites, and it is for the service, and use it for the service of the tent of meeting. It will be a memorial for the Israelites before the Lord, making atonement for your lives. Everyone is to bring the same offering to atone for their lives. Rich or poor, it doesn't matter. In the shekel, this is not that much. I mean, for a poor person, maybe it was a tremendous amount of money. I'm not really sure. One of the difficulties that I have when trying to translate money, especially gold and silver from this period of time, is gold and silver are still very precious to us today, but they're much, much easier to come by for us today than they were for these people. So I imagine that gold and silver and things like that were much more valuable at this point. And the whole of the Bible, it ebbs and flows what things were worth and their values. We read in Chronicles and Kings that Solomon made silver, like common. It was almost worthless because there was so much of it in Jerusalem at that time. So that ebbs and flows, but I have to imagine at this point, it's actually very valuable, a very valuable commodity to them. So this is not cheap, but it's probably not terribly expensive. All right. Verse 17. Then the Lord said to Moses, make a bronze basin with its bronze stand for washing. Place it between the tent of meeting and the altar and put water in it. Aaron and his sons are to wash their hands and feet with water from it. Whenever they enter the tent of meeting, they shall wash with the water so that they will not die. Also, when they approach the altar to minister by presenting a food offering to the Lord, they shall wash their hands, and so they will not die. This is to be a lasting ordinance for Aaron and his descendants for the generations to come. So there's so many things. This is just so fascinating to me. You know, I think maybe you don't, but I've always tended to look back on the priesthood as like, man, wouldn't that be so cool to get to be a priest? But the more you read it, it's like, maybe bring a priest was not so cool, because there's all of these things where like, make sure the blood is sprinkled on you so you won't die. Make sure you've washed and your feet and all that so you won't die. Make sure you wear the right clothes before you go into the holy place so you won't die. I mean, it's there's a weight, a real serious gravity to all of this. It's very fascinating, a bit terrifying to me, if I'm honest. Anyway, continuing on, verse 22. Then the Lord said to Moses, take the following fine spices, 500 shekels of liquid myrrh, half as much, that is 250 shekels of fragrant cinnamon, 250 shekels of fragrant calamus, 500 shekels of cassia, all according to the sanctuary shekel, and a hin of olive oil. Make these into a sacred anointing oil, a fragrant blend, the work of a perfumer. It will be the sacred anointing oil. Then use it to anoint the tent of meeting, the Ark of the Covenant law, the table and all its articles, the lampstand and its accessories, the altar of incense, the altar of burnt offering and all its utensils, and the basin with its stand. You shall consecrate them so that they will be most holy, and whatever touches them will be holy. Anoint Aaron and his sons with and consecrate them so that they may serve me as priests. Say to the Israelites, this is to be my sacred anointing oil for the generations to come. Do not pour it on anyone else's body, and do not make any other oil using the same formula. It is sacred, and you are to consider it sacred. Whoever makes perfume like it and puts it on anyone other than a priest must be cut off from their people. The Lord is saying this is a big deal. This anointing oil, he gives them a very specific blend that he wants. And he tells them, don't anybody else make this. If you find out that anybody else has made this, they're out. It doesn't say to kill them, but they are out of the Hebrew community. No one else is to touch this. There are things that are so holy to the Lord. He says, don't touch them. Just don't touch them. And we don't understand why necessarily. Like, why was this blend the blend that the Lord wants? Why can no one else make this specific blend? We don't know why. I mean, you could make it with 500 shekels of, you know, fragrant calamus instead of 250. And I suppose it would be different and maybe okay if you just blend it in a little bit different way. We don't know why, but we know that the one who created us and holds our lives and our breath in his hand says, don't do it. So it's wisdom not to do it. It's wisdom to obey, even sometimes when we don't understand. And again, there's great symbolism in all of these things. And like I've said many times, you can go look these things up if you're fascinated by them, and be careful, because you'll find everything from credible to crazy out there. So know when you're looking into these things, know what the scripture says, and know that it doesn't tell us why, only that we know that it does. And sometimes the Lord sets things apart as holy, and we're just to know that we don't touch those things. We don't touch them. We are a people today that live without much holiness. you know, used to. I remember when I was a kid, you know, you were supposed to take your hat off when you prayed, take your hat off in church and things like that. And that's not so much in vogue anymore. People don't do that. I remember the old timers would, I mean, they'd like whack you upside the head if you didn't take your hat off during a prayer or something like that. And there was a holiness, a reverence. Now, I'm not saying that necessarily that's a thing that we should go back to or anything. I don't necessarily know that it's either here nor there, but we have as a society lost something of a reverence and a holiness for who we are and what we do before the Lord. And I think there's a little shame in that. I think a little reverence and a little holiness would do us good. And holiness, not by like, you know, being, you know, all prim and proper and a prude or something like that, whatever you think of. I mean, something that sets us apart, something that makes us different. In those times where you would remove a hat or stand at the reading of the word, which people in church used to do, there were things that cause you to change what you're doing in your physical body in such a way that it forced you really to think about what's going on. I don't think those are bad things. Most of the things that, at least in Protestant Christianity, that we used to do, they were relatively arbitrary. I mean, they weren't biblical necessarily. They were just kind of arbitrary things that we did. But that's okay. We could come up with new arbitrary things that aren't biblical. They're not, we shouldn't be legalistic about them. But things that force us in our physical body to stop and take stock of what's going on, what we're really doing, who we're really communing with. That's important. The Lord wanted them to know, you don't make this because this is mine. And so anytime you were making a blend of oil, and this is what they used to like wash their hair and different things, they would use fragrant oils and things like that for various purposes. And so a perfumer, someone who's going through this, is going to have to stop and be like, oh, wait, this is too close. This is too close to this formula. I can't do this. So there was something to this to force you to stop and think, because this is the Lord's. And so sometimes I think we should have things in our lives. And maybe what you need, maybe what we need, is not necessarily something that our church culture gives us, but even personal little holy things that we do. Personal reminders to stop, things that cause us in our physical bodies, not just something we can think about silently, but something that forces us to stop what we're doing and reflect. I think we need those things. Verse 34. Then the Lord said to Moses, take fragrant spices, gum, resin, onycha, and galbanum, and pure frankincense, all in equal amounts, and make a fragrant blend of incense, the work of a perfumer. It is to be salted and pure and sacred. Grind some of it to powder and place it in front of the Ark of the Covenant law in the tent of meeting, where I will meet with you. It shall be the most holy to you. Do not make any incense with this formula for yourselves. Consider it holy to the Lord. Whoever makes incense like it to enjoy its fragrance must be cut off from their people. And again, both the anointing oil and this fragrance that I have trouble pronouncing some of the things that go into it, they're things that no one besides the priests are ever going to get to smell. Never. Think about that. These things, the Lord did not want anyone else to enjoy them. They're just for him. It's almost like a holy kiss that the Lord is giving to the priest, saying, this is just between you and me. I'm letting you in. And so all of this, do this or you will die kind of thing, comes with something special for them. Is the Lord is going to let them into his presence in a way that no one else gets to enter in. And they're going to get to smell these things. They're going to get to smell the fragrances that are going up before the Lord. And very often it can be, we can have a very stoic idea of what God is like, but God is an emotional God. God is a compassionate God. God is a God that loves beauty. I mean, these fragrances and smells, I mean, he constantly in Exodus, we're talking about a fragrant aroma before the Lord. He loves sights and smells. I mean, all of the gold and all of the detail that's going into this. Beauty is something that God dwells in. That's who he is. And I think that it's okay for us to desire, to gaze, to see that beauty. One of the most amazing things is that only the priests got to enter into this beauty, this dimension of the glory of God, where he loves beautiful things, sights and smells. When Jesus died on the cross, the veil into the Holy of Holies was ripped from top to bottom, granting us access into the beauty and the presence of God. I pray that you and I will both experience and know that beauty of the presence of God. If you've made it this far in the podcast or on the video, I want to say thank you and encourage you, if you're enjoying this and if you feel led to do so, I encourage you to check out the Patreon page and support the 10-week Bible study for any amount that you can. It's greatly appreciated to help kind of, pay for all of the stuff that it takes to do this. Again, I don't expect anyone to do it, but if you just feel stirred to do so, I greatly appreciate that. For the 10-week Bible study, I'm your host, Darren Hibbs, and I can't wait to see you next time.